coming to you live from a room in a house. Bobby and Danny's Owl Movements with Bobby and Danny. Hosted by Bobby and Danny. And now, here's Bobby and Danny.
Here we are. We're back. We're Vowel Movements. I'm Bobby.
I'm Danny.
And we're brought to you, as always, by TedAngel.com.
TedAngel.com.
He's getting married soon.
Yeah. Yeah. Give him money.
Yeah. Hire him.
Yeah. Hire him. Well, I mean,
can at least one person that
he's kind of busy right now, so just give him money.
Oh, sure. Just give him money.
Well, we're definitely not brought to you by Motorola Droid.
Yeah,
just saying that right now.
Danny is not having a very good time with his phone tonight.
I hate my phone. I loved it, but now I hate it. It just go. The thing is, I'm up for upgrade, mm-hmm. I guess, in September, and so as been with most of my phones, they kind of go kaput a month and a half before that upgrade. So
of course,
I get to that. Do I want to pay the money now or wait until September 15th? So I'm going to see how long I can let it last.
Sure.
So we wanted to do the Facebook thing.
We're gonna go right into Facebook.
Go right into that. Okay. And our opening song reminded me, I have an idea for our next live Vowel Movements.
Dan, we've already talked about it, and I'm going to be out of town.
No. Well,
that's what you're talking about.
Is that what? Are you going to be out of town?
No, September 1st, I'll be at my niece's wedding.
Oh.
If that's what you're talking about.
How? Do you like your niece? How much do you like your niece? All right. Really? That much?
Yes.
All right.
Enough to miss Chicks Dig It for the first time ever that they've played Sacramento.
Oh, man. All right.
All right.
All right. You sure about that?
Just get on with it.
All right. Your niece can't reschedule, you know, like a...
Maybe you turn down that light right there, the one closest to you. The one closest to you. Just not all the way. Just a little bit.
Oh, it's a dimmer. Yeah, wow, that's romantic.
It was just bright. I'm not trying to get it romantic.
Okay. So really, you get along. And what's your niece's name?
My niece's name is Nicole.
Nicole. And who is she marrying?
I don't know. Some guy.
See?
Andy is his name. I've never met him.
That doesn't sound like a
I haven't
really
even
nice
seen
guy.
My niece in probably 10 years.
What would another day be? What would that hurt? One more day.
I'm going to the wedding.
All right. Just trying my best. Okay. All right. So let's hop into Facebook. You'll probably get there quicker than I can. So go ahead.
All right. I'm here. And our friend Rick, who is a loyal listener,
he's
a loyal contributor mm-hmm. to the Vowel Movements.
And he supports local music and
Supreme Pro Wrestling.
Supreme Pro Wrestling.
So Rick asks, what is one deep fried food that you would love to eat?
Potatoes.
Deep fried potatoes.
Yes.
Those are called French fries.
Yeah, he didn't say it had to be unique. I really like potatoes. Actually, I'm a big fan of deep fried zucchini.
Okay, that's
but
good.
are we thinking like something odd?
Well, you know, the California State Fair is going on as we speak, and
that's true.
There is always several new and exciting things going on. Now this year, they have deep fried Cap'n Crunch.
Deep fried Cap'n Crunch.
It's not Captain. It's Cap'n.
Cap'n. Is it?
It's Cap'n. Cap'n. Cap'n Crunch.
Oh wow! I didn't know that.
But here's the deal. And I'm going to drop this bombshell on you. So tomorrow, I start something anew. I'm starting something called The Reset.
The Reset.
I'm resetting myself.
Okay.
Tonight is my last night of drinking.
Uh-oh. Well,
yes.
We better really hit it hard then tonight.
I have to work tomorrow.
So? What better way to give up drinking than being hungover at work?
So anyway, my point is I'm flushing out my system, I suppose.
Okay.
But I'm going to the state fair sometime soon. I don't know when, but
yeah.
I won't be getting any deep fried Cap'n Crunch. But that is the one thing I would like to try deep fried.
Did you ever have the deep fried Coca-Cola?
No.
They take a Coca-Cola syrup and they just deep fry it. So it's just basically Coca-Cola syrup batter.
Wow.
Crap.
I had a deep fried Snickers bar.
Mm. I've had a deep fried Twinkie. It just tasted like a donut.
Yeah.
So there's nothing. I mean, you can deep fry anything. A friend, there was a bar.
You ever deep fried your balls?
Matzah? No.
Okay.
No, I've never had.
Have you ever deep fried your meatballs?
No, never deep fried my meatballs.
All right. How about, your sour balls?
There was this venue called Wilhelmina's.
Okay.
And they had a kitchen, and their whole tagline is we'll deep fry anything.
Mm-hmm.
And our friends who were on tour were playing there, and the bassist had a bologna sandwich in the van.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to see if they would deep fry it. So they're like, sure, bring it in. And they battered it. And it was in Old Sacramento.
I remember Front Street. The name sounds very familiar.
It's a different name now. Okay. It was Wilhelmina's for maybe a couple of months.
Wilhelmina sounds very, very familiar.
It was downstairs.
Although the Wilhelmina, that's a move.
Is it?
You ever see Silence of the Lambs?
Yeah. Oh, you know, is that called the Wilhelmina?
That's called the Wilhelmina.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know there was a name for that. Yeah.
If you view it from the back, that's called a fruit basket.
I didn't know that had a name. I just thought that was just called the Tuck.
No, it's the Wilhelmina.
Oh, it's wow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. And then I know a Wilhelmina, too.
How about the helicopter? You ever did that one?
Oh, yeah. Done that one? Yeah, I've done the helicopter before.
Yeah, that's a fun one.
Yeah, that one can hurt.
You ever done the Paddington?
The Paddington. Mm-hmm. Now, what is the Paddington?
That's where you take the bag and you pull it up over everything.
The Paddington.
Uh-huh.
Okay, wow.
I learned that from Bobby Adams from 7 Seconds. He said, hey, and I turned around and there was the Paddington.
By the way, I follow Mr. Kevin Seconds on the Instagram.
Okay.
And he's been posting several band photos mm-hmm. of 7 Seconds. And I don't know if they've always been like this, but they seem to be going through a bit of a zany phase that I really, really like.
So the funny thing is, you know, when you get close, that they are a very funny and fun-loving group. You know, the songs they sing, of course, are very
unifying.
And not just political, but, you know, they're of a serious nature. Mm-hmm. But the band itself I think to balance that out, it's not. And in fact, some of the inside jokes that I've been privy to know end up on the liner notes on their records, which is really great.
So. Wow. Well, when they recently played in Sacramento, one of my favorite things was seeing Steve with his son on stage.
That was awesome.
And his son, they wanted to make sure that his son had a microphone set up so he could sing along.
That's
and
great.
And he knew every word. I doubt even the most hardcore 7 Seconds fan knew as many of the words as Steve Youth's son. And it was his birthday. It was his son's birthday.
12th birthday.
And when that was the big dilemma, whether 7 Seconds could play or not, because it happened to fall. The date that we had the show booked happened to be his son's birthday. And I guess the story goes, Steve was like, I don't know if I can play. It's my son's birthday. I can't do this. And so he presented the situation to his son, and his son said, Dad, I want to watch you play.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like, that's what I want to do for my birthday. And
yeah,
he
was
had a
hit. A
blast.
Yeah, and he was a hit, man. Everyone loved him.
Loved it. I remember Aaron was like, who's that boy? I'm like, that's his son. He's like, he's so adorable. I mean, he was having the time of his life.
That's awesome.
So many photos, so many great photos of the two of them on stage mm-hmm. just singing along to it. But anyway, I've just been a big fan of seeing Kevin posting these pictures of them in an elevator or, you know, just standing somewhere. And they're all, here's this legendary hardcore band. And they're all mugging for the camera, just being silly and goofy.
Sure.
I'm like, wow, this is awesome. I love, I don't know if that's always been, you know, something that they've done. It hasn't been something I've noticed in 7 Seconds official band photos.
Sure.
But, you know, these more candid ones, they're hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just really admire that.
Man, we went off on a tangent because Rick just asked about fried food.
Yeah. How did we get to? All right. I don't even want to know.
All right.
And he asked, it was a multi-part question, if I do believe.
It is, and I'll ask the question, and don't jump in yet, because he says, Raw 1000 airs tonight, and for people that don't know, that's WWE's 1000th episode of Raw.
The longest running episodic television show in the history of television.
And he asked some of your favorite Raw moments. Okay, we can get into that. Now, before Dan came over, he watched more of the... So we're recording this on Monday night.
Yeah.
I've watched maybe a half hour of it.
I watched up until the last half hour.
Okay.
That's why
I
was late.
Yeah, and so Dan keeps trying to tell me stuff, and if there's anything I hate is spoilers.
Oh.
And years ago, I had to tell Dan, quit telling me about the show. I haven't watched it. I hate spoilers with a passion. And Dan loves being the spoiler.
All right. I will tell you my favorite Raw moment for the first 999 episodes.
All right.
Okay. Probably my favorite Raw moment was the Kurt Angle milk truck incident. Yeah,
that was pretty great.
Because a play off happened of the... to, Alpha, the Stone Cold Steve Austin beer truck, because that happened to take place in Sacramento at Arco Arena, and I happened to be there for that.
Was I not there for that?
I believe you were there, because
well,
we got...
Well, was the night before, and or the night after was Oakland, and we went down, and that's when he was on the Vespa. Is that right? Was that the
I'm not
was
sure.
That the
I'm not sure,
night?
But I... Going back to, I want to say Kevin Seconds got us tickets for that.
Through Amy Dumas.
From Amy Dumas, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I want to say that was the situation because yeah, I remember being blown away that I got to be at Raw.
Sure.
And that I remember you guys being there.
All right.
So, yeah, we got to see that. And we laughed because that entire, there was just so many gems in that entire scenario. Stasiak.
Oh, Sean Stasiak.
Sean Stasiak.
Just, that's Stan the Man Stasiak.
Yeah,
the inventor of the heart punch.
One of his first outlawed moves
yes.
in professional
oh,
wrestling.
Yes.
And, but basically the whole, if you just YouTube it and just watch him.
All right.
Watch Sean Stasiak. It's just priceless. So, but I would say that's one of my favorites, and which is kind of odd because you know I've been such a huge fan of Stone Cold
well,
Steve
sure.
Austin. So,
that was an homage to Stone Cold Steve Austin coming
yeah.
out in the beer truck
yeah.
and spraying the ring down with
yeah.
beer. Kurt came out in the milk truck and sprayed
yeah.
the ring down.
So
with
that was
milk.
That was I think that was one of my favorites. That and just you name anything from the you know. Steve Austin making
sure.
Vince McMahon urinate in his pants. just any of the Steve Austin, you know, starting up with the 316
sure.
and all that. So how about yours?
Oh, I think the debut of Jericho is up
oh.
there. Yeah. I was, you know, as we've talked about, I was a WCW fan. I watched, mm-hmm. but Jericho, you know, we had a computer at the house and I discovered wrestling websites and one of
yeah.
them was chrisjericho.com. And mm-hmm. so I was a Jerichoholic, and in fact, I think I was one of the first 500 or something. You know,
yeah.
I had a number, and I was a fan. You know, I mean, that probably makes me sound like an Uber fan, but
yeah.
I was just a fan. And so when he finally debuted on Raw, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Because I was really into Raw at that point. I was not much into WCW. I was still watching it, but Jericho mm-hmm. was one of my favorite things on there. And so when he came over, it was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, and we can spend the entire episode talking about favorite Raw moments,
yes.
but I think Sean Hills is probably kicking his computer screen right now. So we should move on to the next part. favorite albums you've been listening to as of late. It's
man.
Not a new album.
What do you listen to?
I'm listening to, there's this Italian band called the Pee-wees.
Oh, okay. Oh,
I'm listening to one of their
Why
albums.
Why do I know the Pee-wees?
They're good friends with bands like the Mangies
okay.
and all that. Just great.
Did
just
they
great.
Had they never did they come to America?
They've
they
never
come.
Come
to America.
I wish they would come to America, but they haven't come to America yet. But they're a great band.
I'm really into Queen right now.
Okay,
and I don't know if you've seen or heard. I was going to show you this before we even started. Someone took all of the isolated tracks
mm-hmm.
from Bohemian Rhapsody,
mm-hmm.
so you can hear just all the vocal tracks on their own. It's amazing.
Oh man,
it is. You can go on YouTube and find it. It's crazy. It is so, so awesome. But I've kind of been into Queen, and all of a sudden that popped up, and I'm just so into it. So, Queen.
I
no
that.
Album in particular.
Where'd you find that at?
It's all over the internet right
okay,
now.
I'll
you should get on the internet sometime.
I should try. I but unfortunately, thanks to my Motorola Droid, can't go on the internet. Dark Knight versus James Begley. Dark Knight versus the Avengers. Which one do you like more? I have not seen either. I would assume I would like The Dark Knight more.
So I'm a Batman fan. You know, mm-hmm. if you go out to in the hall, there mm-hmm. is a bookcase out there that
yeah.
has all of my quote-unquote graphic novels
yeah.
and comic books, just
yeah,
straight
yeah,
up
yeah,
comic
yeah.
books. Probably 75% of any of the action comics are Batman comics.
I think I would like Batman more
yeah.
just because I've seen more of the Batman
sure.
movies and whatnot. So I'd probably like that. Jim Bolt, the man who got me into radio, who put the bump in the bump-a-bump-a-bump. I would say Ringo Starr and Paul McCartney.
Oh, okay.
Because you ever listen to old Beatles, you know, the songs that like they just really dismiss and you just listen to the bass tracks?
So on Friday, my niece, whose wedding I'm going to on the first, her...
Yeah, that isn't official.
Her invitation, the RSVP on the back said, a favorite love song. Mm. And so I talked to Paloma and I said, it's got to be a Beatles song. Yeah. So on Friday at work, I played the Beatles all day. I just put it on shuffle. I have all the records at work on a computer and listen to the Beatles all day. And the early stuff, yeah, man, drum and bass on that carries it. And it's,
it makes me never want to pick up my bass ever because I'm like, there's no way I could just do those lines so perfectly. Our friend Lindsay put up a link for movie remakes. And instead of going all through all 50, just what's your opinion of movie remakes?
That's all right. Because I've liked remakes of, you know, in the 70s and 80s, they started remaking movies from like the 30s and 40s that I had no idea about that I ended up loving. So, you know, it's
really easy to dismiss remakes. Why can't they come up with new ones? But then, and I get ridiculed by all my horror movie friends. I like the Dawn of the Dead, the remake, more than the original. And in fact, my wife saw the remake first, and it was one of our favorite movies. And then we went to the Crest Theater, a local theater here in Sacramento, which doing a friend of ours was having a birthday party there, and he rented out the theater, and he showed the original Dawn of the Dead, and that was Erin's first time seeing it, and she was just so disappointed because she saw it in reverse so I mean there are some movies that like I wish they would not remake.
Well, if they make, I gotta say, if all of a sudden they're remaking Jaws or they are remaking Rocky or I would say The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, but Quentin Tarantino has this new movie called Django, and The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is kind of a remake of this movie called Django.
Oh, okay.
So I wonder, I am assuming that this Quentin Tarantino Django is a remake of the original Django, and that's going to be kind of iffy. But
I mean, I think it's everyone's personal taste. Because just as I love the remake of Dawn of the Dead, I'm sure there's tons of horror movie purists who hate it.
Sure.
I can't stand, just recently, the Three Stooges movie just came out on Blu-ray, And then I was at my brother's birthday party, and one of his high school friends was there, huge Three Stooges fan, and he was just telling me, dude, you got to give it a chance.
Wow,
you should watch it. They do it justice.
Sure,
and they pay tribute to it. I'm like, oh, I don't know. I just don't.
Well, I think when everyone heard Three Stooges movie, they were thinking
a biopic.
And when it was just a, you know, I don't know, you got to hand it to them that.
There was already a great biopic made for TV, and it starred who was the guy who did the Commish?
Oh yeah, the guy that played the thing. I can't think of his name.
Yeah,
the Commish.
Yeah, the Commish. He plays Curly in the made for TV biopic, and it's awesome.
Wow,
it's fantastic. I love it, and I've just watched it several times. And so I was thinking, okay, maybe they'll do something along those lines. But
Lindsay asked Harry Potter and books. Now, I never read any Harry Potter. Did you read Harry Potter?
No, not any.
But I will say this about books. I don't read nearly enough.
Neither do I.
And
I need to.
Yeah, I went on a big book buying spree. And I love biographies. Mm-hmm. And so I'll get into reading some literature again. Mm-hmm. But I read the Sammy Hagar autobiography, which was pretty entertaining. Pretty quick read. I read it in a couple nights. But I'm currently reading Walking a Golden Mile by William Regal.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty awesome.
Oh, man. So, I would.
William Regal, for all of our friends out there, is a professional wrestler.
Yeah. So. Have you read White Line Fever?
I have not.
I'll let you borrow that.
All right.
Great. Jazz Brown, formerly of Brown Cock Radio. Told me about it. I read it, picked up a copy, read it. Absolutely wonderful.
That's awesome.
I'm the same thing. It's like autobiographies. If it's about a wrestler or a musician, I can get into it. So like all the Mick Foley books, the Steve Austin books, the books that Dee Dee Ramone wrote, I just recently read the Johnny Ramone biography. You know, when you read that and you read the Joey, I Slept with Joey Ramone, and you put those, it's like, well, no wonder those two guys didn't get along. two completely different guys. Quick thoughts, SPW.
I like SPW.
Support Supreme Pro Wrestling.
Yes, SupremePro Wrestling.com.
Yeah.
Find them on Facebook.
What's your guys' take on the resurgence of vinyl, more particularly in the local scene? Do you think that benefits a smaller band to have some form of physical media to sell at shows, or do you think the download digital format series serves fine to fit with more DIY punk ethos? Keep up the good work. Well, thank you, Joe.
Thanks, Joe. That's
really cool. Joe's a local musician here in Sacramento. I think the resurgence of vinyl, I think, is a great thing for the music listener.
Mm-hmm.
For independent bands, it's a huge obstacle. For me, I think it's a much greater obstacle than CDs because
of the expense. Yeah.
Oh my God. It costs so much. For people who aren't in bands who don't know, you can get 1,000 professionally produced, shrink wrapped, full color graphics, full color printing on the CDs. You can get 1,000. And this is from a company that I work with, and they're known as the pricier ones, but I always go through them because of the customer service. You can get 1,000 CDs for about $1,200, $1,300. And that's an expensive company, so sure, you can find cheaper. That's 1,000 CDs. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, I don't know if anyone's ever had 1,000 CDs shipped to their house. It's three huge boxes that the UPS man is really, really upset about having to deliver. I mean, it's like it usually gets delivered at the end of their shift because
sure,
they don't want to have to deal with that. So once again, a little more, about $1.30 per unit.
Sure.
You want to do like a 7-inch, you know, for those older listeners, a 45. You do about 100 of them. If you want to make 100, you know, a short run of them, it's going to be about $500. Yep.
Yeah, and that's why when you go to a show and you see a band selling their single for $10,
yeah,
well, then you know why.
Yeah.
Because, but, you know, as a fan, I want vinyl. I love going to shows and buying the vinyl.
I would love to be able to, for our band to have vinyl, more vinyl. I mean, we have a few 7-inches, but to have a full 12-inch release, I would love to be able to do that. But you have to understand, if you go to a show and you see a band selling a CD for $5 to $10,
uh-huh,
and then they're selling their vinyl for $20,
sure,
they're not being outlandish. The markup is about the same for each one.
Absolutely.
It just depends on, like, well, how much can you afford to support that band? I mean, do you just want to, can you only afford $10? Get the CD. If you've got $20, get the vinyl, because number one, it's going to be a lot easier for them to not carry all that vinyl in their car. And for number two, just like as a music listener, and I think we've talked about this, how it makes you listen to the entire thing.
Yep, absolutely.
It's an experience.
And yeah, I agree.
So that was a great question, Joe.
That was.
That was his first one he's ever asked us.
Thanks, Joe.
All right.
We're going to take a break.
All right.
We're overdue.
So Bobby.
So Danny.
I'm going on tour with my band.
The Secretions?
Yes, and we can be found at facebook.com/secretions. But that's not what this is about.
What is it about?
Well, you see, aside from getting together all my toiletries and socks that I plan on throwing away after one use.
That's smart.
Learned it from you. I want to get together a list of podcasts that I can listen to while I'm on the road.
Well, I'll give you a list, but one podcast in particular you can listen to is the Tagcast podcast out of Oregon.
Oregon. We happen to be playing quite a few cities throughout the beautiful state of Oregon.
Tagcast podcast is with my friends Terry and Gatch, and you can find them at tagcastpodcast.com.
Tagcastpodcast.com?
Tagcastpodcast.com.
I'll make sure to download each and every episode.
Who wants love without the looks? Seen it in your eyes, and I've read it in books.
All right, and we're back on the Vowel Movements podcast.
Vowelmovements.net.
Yeah, come visit us at vowelmovements.net.
It's a great website.
You know what? Go to iTunes. Mm-hmm. Subscribe to us via iTunes.
Now, what does that entail when someone wants to subscribe? Because I'm not so, very...
If you go to iTunes and you search Vowel Movements, you'll see our podcast page. There's a button that says subscribe.
Okay.
Subscribe to it, and the podcast will automatically download with each new episode.
Now, on my janky Motorola droid that I can't wait to throw out the window, there's an app called Intune.
Okay.
And it's like a, it's just an app where you can listen to radio shows from all over and also listen to podcasts. I was listening to, there's a wrestling podcast I always listen to. The name escapes me right now.
All right. But
they're not giving us a plug, so I'm not going to give them a plug anyway. But I always listen to that. So I'm just wondering, we got to think about how we can get vowel movements.
I need to, you know, that's my job. I really need to figure that out. But, you know, 5-star ratings on iTunes help us. I don't know how it helps us, but I don't
know. Does it cost people anything?
No, it doesn't cost anything.
So it's not like, oh, download each of our radio shows.
No, it's free. Podcasts are free.
Okay.
And so to give us a 5-star review, that's also free. And in fact, you could even give us 5 stars and then give us a crappy review.
Yeah.
But just give us 5 stars.
I like that.
So speaking of podcasts.
Yeah, you were talking, your friends.
My friends. Your the TagCast podcast. Well, in fact, I know Terry. I've known Terry since 1974. What do you think most of our listeners were doing in 1974?
I was in kindergarten.
All right.
So
I wasn't even in kindergarten.
I would happen to think that some of our listeners were not born yet.
I would think some to say the least.
And I would like to think that some of our listeners were already born at that time.
I would think so.
We span the generations with our wisdom.
I don't know if people know this, but the Vowel Movements podcast is a multi-generational podcast.
We are.
So, my friend Terry is a musician and a comedian. Like I said, I've known him since 1974. You know, one of my best friends, more like a brother, really.
Okay.
You know, lived across the street. I hung out at his house. I ate dinner at his house. Mm-hmm. You know, a few nights a week. You know, I split it between his house and my friend Scott's house down the street.
Mm-hmm.
But he is just the past couple of years has started doing stand-up comedy.
Oh, good.
And he started this podcast, and I've listened to every episode. It's really good, and he's based out of Oregon. You are going to Oregon.
We're recording this in mid July.
Yes.
My band, The Secretions, we're doing a 2-week tour in August, starting August 1st. We're doing the first leg going from Sacramento, making our way up north, and we'll be going through Oregon. Thank you, Motorola Droid, for not working right now. Otherwise, I'd have the specific dates. But if you go to facebook.com/secretions, click on our events page, you'll see all of the dates. But I know we are playing Eugene, Salem, Bend, Oregon, which doesn't get visited by a whole lot of touring bands.
Well, yeah,
it's off of five.
Yeah, what's funny is that Bend, if you look on the map, that looks like Central Oregon, but it's what we called as Oregonians Eastern Oregon.
Yeah, well, because all the other cities, you know, Eugene, Medford, Salem, Portland, all of those cities, they're right off the five.
Yeah, they're in the valley.
You pretty much take the five right up there. Bend, a lot of bands don't go visit Bend, but past three tours, we've gone to Bend and just had a great time. So we're going to Bend as well.
That's awesome.
So I don't know if you're one of those people who has the iPhone made by Apple Industries.
So I'm on the Secretions page trying to find your, where is your?
All right. Scroll down. You'll see I posted.
Here, I'm going to throw my phone to you.
Let's see.
I didn't break it. Okay, so I threw my phone to Dan. So
all right, so while I'm doing this, tell me about your friends.
Okay,
podcast.
So they just, talk about comedy and metal.
Okay.
Well, rock and roll. You know, the fact is, growing up with Terry, we weren't just into hard rock or metal. Like, we were into all rock and roll. And while he was definitely the metal kid, I mean, he was the guy that got me into, you know, Metallica and Megadeth and, you know, the harder, you know, Slayer's one of his favorite bands. But also, you know, one of his favorite bands is Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention.
Nice.
And we listened to Devo growing up. So we listened to a big cross section of stuff, the Cars. There's all kinds of stuff that we listened to that he, you know, so he is a big music fan. So, you know, that comes, even though he plays metal, it comes across that he loves music. And anyway, he's switched to, or not switched, but he has added stand-up comedy to his repertoire.
Nice, nice. All right, so I think I'm... Man, these things are nice. No wonder everyone raves about the iPhones. I'll have to get one. They're based out of...
So they're based, actually, say, near Eugene, okay. Really. Basically, they're based out of, I think, the town that we grew up in. Terry moved back there last year sometime.
Okay. Well, I think I may have accidentally deleted it on my phone, but yeah, if you go there, you'll find, if you're not on your phone, you'll find all the dates. But I really love Oregon. Even though we've been pulled over every time we've been in Oregon, in the state of Oregon, we are always pulled over for no matter what, whether they think we're kidnapping someone, whether they think we're not wearing our seatbelts, or they just see the California plates. So there you go. But anyway, yeah, we're going up there and then coming back down, then going south, going to Southern California as far south as San Diego. When we come back to Northern California, before we go down south, we're going to be going with this band called The Community.
Okay.
Really nice guys. And I think it's their first time out on the road.
Oh, cool.
So for the first leg of the tour, we were hoping to take this band called The Left Hand out. Unfortunately, their lead singer just got a new job. Can't take the time.
Bummer.
So yeah, so I was really bummed because they were excited about going on the road with us, and so it's going to be the first time we've hit the road for a while alone in a while.
Oh wow!
So definitely having some podcasts to listen to, might be a good thing. But no, because I mean we used to go out on tour alone a lot, we found that when we go with other bands, it makes it so much easier because there's someone there to buffer the,
sure,
you know, after you've been on the road with someone for a while, you get on each other's nerves and, you know, Mickey and I just will clash and it's nice to have that, you know, someone else there to hang out with. So cool. I think we're going to be fine.
Well, of course you are.
I think we're going to be fine. I'll have a few books. I'll hopefully have a phone that works. And, if nothing else, I'll have my iPad and
cool.
I'll listen to some radio podcasts that way. So have they listened to our show?
Yeah. Terry listens to a lot. They, in fact, on our Vowel Movement's Facebook page, they talk to us via that, kind of giving us.
Okay.
See, now they.
Giving us pointers.
Well, the fact is, like, we still have more shows on them because this is our 23rd show.
Ah, 23rd.
But they're already up to, like, their show this Wednesday, I think, will be number 19 or 20.
Wow. How long ago did they start, you say?
I don't know, what is that, 9 weeks ago? They do a show every Wednesday and Friday.
Ah.
It's pretty crazy. And for those out there that are listening, you know that Dan and I do a show whenever the hell we feel like it.
Yeah, whenever we feel like it, yeah.
So, you know, they're a little more studious about...
Okay. Well, good for them.
Yeah,
good
that's
for
awesome
them.
For them.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything from my friend Ryan. And
yeah, hopefully and Ryan gets his and Johnny get theirs going.
Yeah, so a couple of wrestler friends of ours who wanted to do a podcast, but it's based on video games.
Yep.
So we'll see how that goes. Hopefully it gets off the ground for them.
I hope so.
I don't know. I would love to be able to. You know, I always get people asking me questions about podcasts. So, well, how do you do? I'm like, I don't know. I really don't know how we do. I show up at Bobby's house. He does it all. Ask him.
Yeah, I barely know.
Well, I would love to be able, I mean, I have my little Target digital recorder. Mm-hmm. I'd love to, you know, record a few things on the road, bring it back and give it to you and say, okay, what can you make with this?
Yeah, just let's do it.
You know, just a couple little interviews and talking to people. It wasn't on this thread on Facebook, but earlier a friend of ours, Mike, who's a promoter in Modesto, just asked, what are some of the coolest and worst promoters you've ever worked for, you know? So I think that would be a really, you know,
probably kind of the worst
tour diary.
The worst promoter I've ever played for is this guy in Sacramento named Dan.
Ooh. Hey.
What?
Oh, we always take care of you.
Care of you always. I forgot.
All right. Who's one of the best promoters you ever, you know, in all your tours that you've ever done?
Oh, promoter. I don't know. I mean, there's venues. Slim's in San Francisco is probably head and shoulders above. Slim's or the Great American Music Hall are probably head and shoulders above any club, really. The Triple Rock in Minnesota.
I've always wanted to play there, but, you know.
I think that was a guy from the Dillinger Four.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost positive it's his club.
Yeah.
But they're awesome. They treated us well, you know, fed us. And then we were out with Man Planet. That's their hometown. Mm-hmm. The show was just, insane. So yeah, that was one that sticks out. So promoters, I don't know. I don't, you know.
And when you got to go to the, Japan with Mr. T Experience.
Oh, yeah.
I remember the story of, was it a promoter that took you to a wrestling show?
It was. Okay, yeah. So and I think we've talked about this on a previous show. But yeah, the we played a few shows with this band called The Disgustings, and the and one night I wore an NWO shirt, I think, or I maybe a Four Horsemen shirt, I can't remember, and they kind of freaked out that I was a pro wrestling fan, and the bass player from The Disgustings, Kota, and the promoter Chiba from Set You Free Promotions, we had a day off, and they said, Bobby, Chiba wants to know if you want to go to Tokyo and go see a wrestling show. And so, yeah, they took me to the Tokyo Dome. We didn't see a show in the Tokyo Dome.
But there's,
yeah,
there's a smaller venue.
Yeah, there's a, it was
Takamichi Noku.
Yeah, it was his place. So,
his promotion?
Or his promotion.
Wow.
So, yeah, and we've talked about that on a previous episode. But yeah, that was, so yeah, he's probably my favorite promoter. Just, well, actually, Mark from MAD in Europe is awesome. This last time I went out with 7 Seconds a year ago or 2 years ago or whatever, it was his company did it, but we didn't see him. But in 2004 I did. And he's an interesting cat. He's awesome. So, and how about you? Was there,
I would say, when we were in Italy and we, and this, when the Secretions played, for this wonderful venue called the Titty Twister. And, just because it was out in the middle of nowhere, beautiful countryside. And there's this club out in, you know, on this mountain. And, it has the place where you stay, your bed and your rooms are all upstairs and they're really nice. You know, there's a bathroom down the hall, nice shower and all that. And they cook, you know, like lots of European, venues, they have dinner there for you. And it was this homemade pasta and they took care of us. And then after the show, they kind of had an after party for us and they just really took care of us and partied all night with us. And it was great because we didn't have to drive anywhere. Or didn't have to drive to our hotel that night, so we were able to hang out and party with our tour manager, you know, who was very, you know, just like, well, I'm on the clock, can't do this, and then, but here he is, you know, well, our rooms are upstairs. So I just you know, and that was pretty typical for every venue we played in Italy, you know, where it's like it's common to feed the band, house the band, entertain them, you know, take them around town, and,
that's cool,
and all that, and locally, it's. What I've always found the similarities between punk rock and wrestling is when you're dealing with a promoter who's in a band, they tend to know how to treat you.
Sure.
And like, you know, locally we have our friend Sean. He plays in this great band called Bastards of Young. He's also probably the hardest working local music promoter in our town of Sacramento.
Right now, yeah, absolutely.
He runs his promotion company's Punch and Pie and Punch and Pie Productions. And I've always felt like, you know, he gets it, you know, because he is a musician.
Yes.
He's toured. And I remember hearing a long time ago, there was a wrestler who told me, never trust a promoter who wasn't a wrestler.
Oh, wow.
He's like, just never trust them because they don't get it. They don't get it. And, you know, it was very early in my wrestling time. Mm-hmm. And but it stuck with me. And I really realized, I'm like, kind of the same thing goes with, you know, local music. I don't know about any other style of music, but definitely in punk rock. And so whenever we book tours, I've always had a better dealings with promoters who were also in a band or they're involved in the music industry more so than just, oh, I just book at this venue and take my cut. And it's been like that with wrestling too. Usually the promotions that are run by a wrestler tend to be much more respectful to those wrestlers.
Yeah, that absolutely makes sense.
So that would be where I would go with that.
Let's take a little break here. It's a little early, but Dan's got some things to say.
Oh yeah,
he's got some stuff to get off his chest.
Oh yeah,
no, I don't know about that. All right,
it's not hair.
The sheik, I said, clap your hands. He said, clap your hands.
Dan, all this equipment is falling apart.
Hey there, Prince. I really like the purple duct tape on your mic stand.
Well, what else am I supposed to do?
Why don't you just go to Amazon and buy a mic stand?
Hey, speaking of that,
you can go to valmovements.net and click support, and that'll take you directly to a banner that you can click that'll take you to Amazon.
And when you shop on Amazon through our page at valmovements.net, we get a couple of bucks for it, and it doesn't cost you anything more. Back for our third and final segment on episode 23, and on my third and final beer.
I'm on a Rainier Ale, 16 ounces, so it's my second and a half.
I don't know if this is going to be my last beer tonight. I think it is.
Yeah, well, we're gonna go downstairs, and we're going to watch the thousandth episode
of
Raw.
Yeah, we're going to finish watching Raw, and it's only for a month.
Really?
My little thing is, you're just not going to see me not drink for only a month.
I was going to say the best way to give up drinking is going to work hungover. So many times I've gone to work hungover, and it's, you know, I'm just telling myself never again.
Yeah. Yeah. I rarely drink.
Yeah.
I mean, by rarely, I mean, I don't ever drink during the week. So, I mean, excuse me. I don't.
How dry I am.
I don't. I'm okay. No, I don't go to work hungover. So,
okay.
Well, I don't work on Saturdays anymore.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. Well, I know. I wanted to switch things up in this last segment. I know normally we talk about wrestling and music. So for this last segment, I wanted to talk about professional wrestling and music.
All right.
If we can change.
Sure.
Things. So, starting on a serious note, I just recently found out that a gentleman by the name of Tim Barrett, As of late, he was the main person in charge of a promotion here in California called North American Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
When we got started in wrestling, yep. North American Wrestling was kind of the big daddy.
They were definitely
the paternal figure to various smaller promotions, promotions like RPW, Revolutionary Pro Wrestling, which was based out of Stockton. And Supreme Pro Wrestling, which was based out of Sacramento, but basically they all answered to NAW,
sure.
which at the time was run by a gentleman named Brian Ward.
And if I may, and if from what I remember back then, even though it was a paternal situation or relationship, they were just really like inviting. You know,
I
didn't know anything.
There was no those three promotions. There was no competition. It was all family.
And treated like the little guys. Like I came in. I mean, granted, at the time I was 30 years old, so I was 10 years older than everyone else.
But you were new.
But
you
was new, and so I was. I kept my mouth shut, and they were just so inviting, and just like, hey, we're glad you're doing this.
How awesome was it? You know, you were 30 at the time you came in. And you're the rookie, and you're talking to this 24-year-old and referring to him as one of the veterans.
Yeah, you know? No kidding.
But I mean, it wasn't an awkward thing. It's like, dude, you've been doing this for 6 years.
Yeah.
You're the veteran. Mm-hmm. You're the one I'm going to listen to. So anyway, NAW, and then the course of tides change and promotions. People who are in charge of the promotions leave, and someone else is in charge. Brian Ward, who started North American Wrestling and ran it, he left, and his main right hand man, Tim Barrett, was the person who took on the executive position of running that promotion. And I think it's no diss on anyone to say that Supreme Pro Wrestling became over the course of time became more of the paternal promotion. In Northern California, Revolutionary Pro Wrestling, RPW, folded. Now there's Pro Wrestling Bushido, which is based out of the Modesto area. And they run shows in Modesto, Stockton, and Fresno. and lots and various other promotions for reasons that I'm not sure of. They don't really work with North American wrestling anymore.
Okay.
They kind of gone off on their own. That's neither here nor there. The thing that's important to keep in mind is that Tim Barrett recently passed away.
It's a bummer.
So I just wanted to, for anyone who's listening to this, because we do have some wrestling fans who listen to this, and in particular, Northern California independent wrestling mm-hmm. fans that listen to this, I just wanted to thank Tim for everything he did. He put me in some of my earliest matches. Some of my favorite road trips were traveling down to Fresno to work for North American Wrestling. And he was always very friendly to me, even though at the time he wasn't the one who was in charge. One of the things that we bonded on is we were both drummers. And I always thought it was really interesting because at the time, North American Wrestling didn't have your classic ring bell,
uh-huh.
like, you know,
uh-huh.
wrestling
yes.
bell. What it was, I don't know, basically it wasn't a cowbell, but you know, like when you take a ride cymbal that has a huge bell,
uh-huh.
but it's a cymbal that's
yes.
just the bell.
Yeah.
That's what they had.
That's awesome.
And it sounded great, but he's just like, yeah, why spend money on this bell? I got this at home. So it sounds good. So he would have a drumstick and he would just whack that to start the matches.
That's
and it
awesome.
Sounded just like a regular wrestling bell. So I don't care about why, you know, people went one way or the other and all that. I just want to, you know, give a public acknowledgement to Tim and Brian for what they did in helping us have a great time
yeah.
and have some
That's
wonderful
great.
Memories. I mean, getting dressed in a Denny's bathroom down the road from a wrestling show and, you know, walking in wearing jeans and a T-shirt. Walking out in spandex and a mask, reeking of Gold Bond extra strength powder, and just watching the look on people's faces, you know, because we were doing an outdoor show and there were no dressing rooms, and so they're like, well, you can go down the street to the Denny's, and so we did that. We ate. Each of us went into the took our time going into the stalls.
That's too funny.
And I did that. So I just wanted to first just say rest in peace to Tim, and just thanks for letting. For giving a lot of people the chance to live a dream.
That's great.
I think that same show is when Tommy Tsunami wrestled against a young rookie sensation by the name of Johnny Onyx, who later went on to become Johnny Nitro, later to become John Morrison. Who I'm hoping makes his comeback.
I do too.
I really do.
I don't know if you watch the Zack Ryder show
yeah,
on
I
YouTube,
do. I
but
do.
He
I
was
do.
In
he
the newest episode,
up.
And it was yeah. just great to see him interact yeah. with Dolph Ziggler and yeah. Zack Ryder. And yeah, yeah, I'd love to see him back. So
that was the first thing I want to say. Second, I just had two situations I wanted to bounce them off and get your takes.
All right.
This past weekend, I had two shows. The band I play guitar in, The Moans.
Mm-hmm.
We played in Berkeley. At the Saturn Cafe,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, the Saturn Cafe is this, it's very intimidating for my wife because she's a vegetarian. And usually when we go out to eat, she's limited to maybe one or two things on the menu.
Yeah, yeah, but
however,
you go to Saturn
Cafe. Saturn Cafe, it's all vegetarian, so she's overwhelmed. She can have whatever she wants.
You can have sliders.
Oh, yeah,
you can
everything.
Have
burgers.
Yep, absolutely.
Anything. So, and next to the Saturn Cafe in Berkeley, there's a little venue, and they originally had wanted the Secretions, and Secretions couldn't do it, so that's why I have the Moans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, hey, you know, I want to play. So these guys just love playing, so how about this band? And they're like, sure, come on. So it's three bands. First band, so we get there when they tell us load in is, and we're the only ones there. I'm like, okay, so we load in. Where should we set up merch? And they kind of look at us a little funny. And we're like, right over there is fine. Okay, so we set up our merchandise. You know, we got some CDs, some shirts, stickers, but, you know, just
mm-hmm.
usual fare, nothing crazy. The other bands eventually start showing up. I'm noticing something about the, and I don't mean to you know, just generalize
it's okay.
Berkeley,
sure.
Music snobs.
All right.
Music snobs. And, you know, really wanting to portray themselves as art lovers
all right.
and all that. And just, I mean, the entire time I'm like, oh, they're going to hate us. And of course, we're playing last. Not headlining.
Wow.
Playing last.
Playing last.
So, okay, so these bands that all of these people are here to see, and then you're going to make us play last. Okay, we're the ones who are from out of town. You're going to make us play last. Fine. Fine, whatever. First off, there was no one working the door. There was a $5 door charge.
But no one working
no
the
one
door.
Was working the door. So there was like 30, 40 people there. No one's working the door. All right. First band plays. They're taking forever to set up. They play. They're all right. They're all right. They kind of had a Jesus Mary Chain, Throwing Muses kind of
okay.
kind of thing going. They did a cover of this band Lush.
Oh, love Lush.
Remember For Love?
Yeah.
That song. They wow. covered that. Not very well, but they,
but
covered,
they covered
it.
It
and
so.
I remember just telling him how much I loved that song. I was like, wow, I really love that Lush cover you guys did. That was fantastic. And so then they played. And then the band that obviously everyone was there to see, mm-hmm. all of these little, you know, Berkeley artists were there to see, played. They took forever to set up.
Of course they did.
They played. They had absolutely no stage banter, no charisma. They were an okay band, not my taste. And then they did your favorite thing. They took their time tearing
down.
They took their time tearing down. And so the drummer...
Is that when you wish that I was in the band?
Oh,
because,
man.
You know, I
was
would,
like, oh,
I would
Bobby,
rip
would you,
off.
And I thought of, like, you going up there and just grabbing the drummer's things. And I just rolled my amp up to the front of the stage and just started plugging things in. And then they're like, oh okay. Because they're talking to all their friends. I'm like... Mm-hmm. As
wow.
half the crowd is
rookie
leaving,
move.
As half the crowd is leaving, you know, they're talking to the other mm-hmm. half on stage. And so we start setting up. And of course, 80% of the audience leaves. We play to about maybe 10 people.
All right.
They really liked it. We had stage banter. We're joking around with them. We play our set. We had a good time. But what I was really thinking about is like these people who like, really want to portray themselves as art lovers and the fans of music, how they wouldn't give something that they've never heard of a chance.
Yeah, of course.
I'm like, I don't care if we clear the room as after you heard one song
mm-hmm.
or even 30 seconds of a song, as if like as soon as we started playing our Ramones style of music and you're like, oh, how lame, and left, whatever. But at least you gave it a chance.
Sure.
They didn't even give it a chance. The people started leaving before we started
yeah,
playing.
I never get that. Like, you know, my very first band I was ever in was mm-hmm. a punk rock band because I loved punk rock
yeah.
and I still do love punk
yeah.
rock, but I love music.
Yeah.
I mean, you have my LP and my mm-hmm. CD collections right next to you. I mean, it's, you know,
it's a cornucopia
yeah,
of music.
And man, how can you not be a music lover and at least
yeah.
give something a chance?
Yeah. So I just thought that was really funny. You know, they were really coming across as like these really cultured people
sure.
who, you know, just like, oh, you know, you just wouldn't understand everything we know. But then they wouldn't give something new a chance.
Of course.
I'm like, oh, you're so fake.
Yes.
So fake. And so that was one thing. Then the other thing at the end of the night, I'm like, I go to the person who's, I think is running the show.
Mm-hmm.
And at least he was the one who told us where to set up
sure.
and all that. And I asked, so is there anything, you know, anything from the door for the bands? I'm like, oh, the singer from the second band. You know, he's the one who took care of it.
Okay.
The band that was like mm-hmm. broke every rule of the book.
Yes.
You know, making us play last and then taking their time and just whatever. So I go to him. I'm like, hey, so thanks for letting us play. Is there anything that, you know, anything from the door? And he's like, oh, yeah, there was only like $20. I'm like, okay, so 40 people were in there. We're charging $5 a head. You only charged 8 people. Okay. All right. So can we get some of that?
Where's our $7?
Yeah. And he's like, well, that only comes to like $5 per band. I'm like, okay. Do you want the $5? Yeah. I want the $5.
Good for you.
So I normally, you know, because it's, you know, I would think it's bad karma. I would never like, Guan says, but I will never ever play with a band by the name of Lenz, L-E-Z,
right.
L-E-N-Z. I will never play with them. If they write to me asking for a show, I will just delete the email.
Good
I won't
for you.
Spend the time of day telling them off and telling them why I won't help them. But so just fair warning, any of my friends going to Berkeley, Nothing against Saturn Cafe, but if you play a show there, get someone to run the door. Next time we go there, because it's an awesome location, awesome little venue, great food.
Yeah,
people who work there are nice. They just, I just don't think they understand that, like.
Yeah, we got a merch person. He'll work the door.
Yeah.
Or she'll work the door.
Yeah, they'll take care of that. They'll take care of that. We'll even give the venue a cut of the door. You know, it's like, we'll give you guys 10% of the door.
Sure.
I think, I just think so. Any of the bands want to do that, have someone run the door. And don't ever play with Lens. Not all worth it. Not worth it at all.
That's the name of episode 23. Don't ever play with Lens.
Yeah, do that. I probably be the most publicity of those. I mean, but obviously, like, okay, this band will probably never play out of their comfort zone.
Well,
ever.
Of course. And not only that, when a band is that clueless, they can't. I mean, they don't have, if you don't have what it takes, if you don't have the common sense that it takes at that level, you don't have what it takes to take it out
and
outside
even,
of your comfort
say this.
Zone.
Two songs in, Matt broke a bass string. And we just asked, does anyone have a bass? We promise if we break the string, we'll pay you for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, and the singer / bassist of that band begrudgingly loaned us his bass. And we thanked him tirelessly on, hey, we want to thank Lens again for letting us use their bass. But they did more to on the negative side of things.
Of course.
Not even, I mean, it pales in comparison to letting us use your bass. You know, so
man, how do you break a bass string? I've only broke a bass string once.
I don't think it's so much that I think it was just horrible luck.
Yeah,
Matt's just had a black cloud over him, you know, amp going out, bass string breaking. So just like, oh, tough luck. But
all right. So you're going on tour.
Going on tour.
That's on tour. That's
hopefully
it's
not dealing with bands like that ever again.
Well, you can't, of course. You're gonna
I know that's going to happen, but fortunately, I know a lot of the bands that we're going to be playing with, you know, because
it's just so funny
bands.
When you talked about, you know, the money thing, I just think about like Ted Angel and when we were out on that MTX tour and it was a side of Ted I had never seen, but he wasn't taking any BS from anyone.
Yeah.
And I saw him, you know, in Orlando. It was just so classic. Mm-hmm. But he basically told the guy to get on the phone with the promoter and get him back there because they stiffed us, which they did.
Yeah.
And the guy came back and actually opened his wallet and gave Ted more money. I am still, to this day, astonished by that because I swear it was some kind of mafia thing.
It's
And with that said, with me in a band, that I don't put up with people doing, like, not tearing down their stuff. Like, I just can't take that. And, like, I like to think I am the world's nicest guy. I'm, like, music's nicest guy. Except when you push me with stupid stuff like that, I'll just go up and start grabbing your drums and taking them off stage.
And Mike, who posted the, who are some of your favorite promoters in the least, he's a promoter in Modesto, did shows at the Fat Cat and various coffee shops and bars and all that. And, I've always worked with him in Modesto, and there he loses his shirt on a lot of shows, you know, because he loves music to a fault. Like, he loves the Secretions. Yeah. I mean, he puts us up there like as one of his favorite punk bands. He's like, dude, I'll give you $100 if you come play this show. You know, so we'll come play the show. And there's not that many people there because, you know, people aren't supporting the scene that he's trying. He is such a fan of music. He just wants all these bands, like, and we'll play with metal bands. We'll play with this whole wide array of music, but he just loves all the bands. And he's such an innocent fan of music that he doesn't understand why doesn't everyone else love this?
Yeah.
And there's no way he makes that kind of money from the show. And I've seen him just like go into his wallet. He's like, dude, I'm going to the ATM right now. I'm like, dude, don't do that. I'm like, if you can give us $20 for gas, that'll be great. You know, but we sold some merch and whatnot,
sure.
But like, he's one of those guys that just, you know, I don't want him to become a jerk of a promoter because it's so refreshing because he books bands that he genuinely loves.
Oh, that's great.
And if music fans love music as much as he did, he'd have the most successful shows.
That's awesome.
So it's tough because, you know, you want that promoter who's going to be true to their word. But then at the same time, you know, I don't want to screw anyone over.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
of course,
if a show doesn't make money, you know, though, and if I drove hours to get there, don't come up to you can say, dude, I lost a lot of money. It's like, well, guess what? You're going to lose $20 more because it will really save face if you just say, here's, I can give you $20.
Yep.
And Brian Hanover and I had this conversation once because he had been screwed over a local venue, and he was just saying just how much it means if they just say, here, I can give you, you know, I'll give you $20. Yep. I lost this much money, but I don't want you to go empty in it. So, at least buy something.
I don't know if we've ever talked about this, but years ago, myself, Kevin Seconds, and Nolan from, 100 bands in Sacramento. And I think
from the True Love. Tall, really tall.
Nolan, Zen Arcadia, I think is the band he was in Kimberly Trip for a while, but he's in.
Okay.
Very nice guy. But the three of us played, like a Thursday night at the distillery.
Mm.
And at the end of the night, so Kevin left and then I left or no, I didn't leave. So Kevin left. And at the end of the night, I go up. And there was like some people there, and I asked, you know, the booker, I said, all right, hey, what do we have for money? He's like, we only brought in $1.50. So I'm like, oh, whatever. So I leave. Well, Nolan, he tells Nolan that, and Nolan says, all right, I want my money and I'll take Kevin's. And the next time he saw Kevin, no, gosh, I have this all wrong. Me and Nolan took the money. So I took my 50 cents. Nolan took his 50 cents. And then he had Kevin's 50 cents and he never said anything to Kevin. And then finally, like a week later, Kevin said, hey, Nolan, did we get paid for that show? And Nolan goes, oh, yeah, we did. Let me get it for you. And he reaches into his pocket and hands him 50 cents. And he wasn't going to say anything to Kevin until Kevin asked. But he handed Kevin 50 cents.
Oh, my gosh.
So, yeah, I made 50 cents playing a show once.
Wow.
And there were people there drinking at the bar.
Well, we played the Stork Club once.
Okay.
We were helping some friends who were on tour from Portland.
Mm-hmm.
And we play the show at the end of the night, you know. They took off because there wasn't that many people there. So they're like, we're not getting paid. So they took off. I'm like, all right. So I went to the owner and I said, well, so is there anything for the bands? He's like, yeah, it's just $2. You know, after we paid security and the sound man, there's only $2 for the bands. I'm like, okay. You want your $2? Yeah.
Yeah.
Then he hands me a form to fill out asking for my social security.
Sure.
And all this, just basically all this tax information for $2. I don't know whose social security number I wrote. It wasn't mine.
Sure.
So I'm not going to write my social security number on a piece of paper for $2.
Well, not only that, you're not going to write it down for some, you know, shaky club.
Yeah.
In Oakland,
so I'm like, all right. So, yeah. So $2. Secretions played in Oakland at this crusty punk festival. And we got, they walked around with a change bucket while we were playing, and we got 97
cents.
That's
awesome.
97 cents.
That's not that you're going to say $97.
No, 97 cents. I had these crusties come up to me asking if they could buy a shirt for 17 cents.
Wow.
I'm like, hey, just ask for a free shirt so I can say no. You know, it's like, no, I'm not going to give you a shirt for 17 cents. You know, you're walking around with a bottle of Jack Daniels and a case of Pabst Blue Ribbon, you know, it's like, you're not.
That's right.
It's like, don't give me that I'm homeless crap. And so, yeah, 97. So $1.50 for three people.
Yeah, 50 cents. So that's the.
I mean, it's like it's an investment. If you just say, hey, this is what the numbers are. I can give each of you guys $10. Dinner's on me tonight.
Yeah.
You know, go to Denny's, get yourself a Moons Over My Hammy. Do, you know, it's like. That $10 is going to do so much more for you, because it's gonna tell them, hey, you know, even if they lose money, they'll give you something, and you're going to tell people, play at that venue,
sure,
play at that venue. Play,
you know, I've heard
person.
Even, you know, let's say you hire a plumber to come over to your house and do whatever. I have heard, you know, you slip them $5 and say, hey, lunch is on me, and that just means the world. Next time you have a plumbing problem, well, you're first in line just because you happen to give someone $5 to go have lunch. So
it is.
Same thing with music. Like,
it's not always numbers. It's not always numbers. And anytime I've done a show, if I've ever put on a show, fortunately I haven't, there's been very few instances where I've had to like, all right, here, I'm going to give these guys a couple. It's like even the local bands, you know, it's like, you know, I'd make sure to take care of the touring band, but even the local band's like, here's what the case is with the numbers. You know, we have this much money. I had to give them this much. Here's $20. You know, so there's some shows where it's like, okay, I lost $40.
Sure.
But that $20 that I gave that band made, you know, kept our trust.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
That was a wise investment. He's like, because they know it's like, because there's been times where like I've given the band the $20 saying, here, man, I'm sorry, you know, there weren't a lot of people here. Here's some gas, or you guys get burgers or a case of beer. And I've had bands just say, dude, just book us again. And they give me the money back.
That's awesome.
You know, I'm not going to argue too much about that because I could use that $20. But, you know, it's just the gesture of saying for your time, you know, it's like no one made money, but here, thank you for what you did.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
All right, let's go finish watching Raw. It's like a...
Oh, you're going to love that one scene.
No spoilers.
Hey, so we want to make sure one more time we want to listen to...
The TagCast podcast at tagcastpodcast.com.
All right, our new brothers
in pod.
Our brothers in pod.
Brothers in pod.
TedAngel.com. He's getting married soon.
TedAngel.com. I don't know if... It's been so long. Every time we post an episode, it's like we have to start over.
Yeah.
But... You know, our last episode had over between listens, downloads, and listening on our website. We had over 500 people listening.
Wow!
So
thank you.
You know, can one person hire Ted for something and say that you found us through Vowel Movements?
He'll give you a discount. He will give you the TedAngel.com discount.
Wait, maybe you shouldn't mention us.
No, but seriously, I think that would be just one of our crowning achievements.
If
Ted said, dude, I got this job. They said they heard about me on your radio show.
Yeah,
you think of it this way: we have wrestlers, musicians, and people who have podcasts listening to our show all over the world. They all need graphic work done.
You'd think our website looks as good as it does because me or Dan did it?
Hell no! I don't even know how we do this radio show.
All right, that's it. We'll see you. We'll see you whenever we damn well feel like seeing.
That's
it.
Right.
Say adios.
Adios. This is so good. It's what I feel. Band Begin.
Yes.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Danny.
Hey, so my band's going on tour, and aside from acquiring all the toiletries and socks that I plan on throwing away after one usage, mm-hmm. I want to get a list of podcasts I can listen to on my trip.
Okay.
That's nice. And then from there, she go, please listen to...